Hurricane Michael is now a tropical storm bringing heavy rain to southern states already soaked by Florence. A day after Michael slammed into the Florida panhandle as a near Category 5, the third most powerful hurricane to ever hit the U.S. mainland, at least two people have died. FEMA Administrator Brock Long says the coastal village of Mexico Beach took the most direct hit, and officials there say it's unclear if people who refused to evacuate that area may have been killed there. So a grim watch going on there. And it could be weeks before power is back on in the worst hit parts of the state. Here's Brock Long.
It's not just power lines being down. It's transformers that are down. It's substations that have been impacted. And this is not stuff that you just put back together overnight. And it's unrealistic for people to think that it's going to happen within the next day or two in some of these areas.
Joining us from Tallahassee is Lynn Hatter, news director at WFSU. Lynn, Tallahassee, where you are, a little bit inland, but we're hearing that this storm, something that was so shocking about it, is how far inland it went. So what's going on in Tallahassee?
Well, about 97% of Leon County, which is where I am, has no power. And if you track a little south, 98% of Wakulla County and 99% of Franklin County and Gadsden are also without power. So, you know, you think about where this storm hit, we are about 60 miles to the east and significant power outages. So this is really a regional event. Yeah. Nobody has power right now in several counties across the Panhandle and the Big Bend.
Yeah. Talk about Mexico Beach. This morning, a Tampa Bay Times crew that got there described fires burning with no one to put them out, cars and trucks stacked like toys, stairs that lead to houses that just aren't there, trees bent over as if trying to run from something. And the aerial footage, I mean, it looks like, you know, recent footage of a tsunami. Entire blocks of homes near the beach washed away. What's filtering back to you about some of these worst hit areas?
Yeah, several, you know, Mexico Beach did sustain the worst hit. We're actually still awaiting word on whether or not they were able to rescue families. Even closer into our area in Apalachicola, if you see the storm surge videos, storm surge up to 9 feet high, you have coastal communities. These are very small coastal communities that are essentially wrecked. Rebuilding them, you know, we don't know how long that's going to take. And I'm actually surprised a crew got in there because we're hearing word of difficulties from other crews trying to get into the area that cannot. Major arteries are still impassable. I-10 is shut down all the way through almost to the Alabama line. So trying to get even out to that area is a challenge right now, and a lot of people can't. And in fact, in Bay County, they're telling people to stay away.
Yeah. The largest hospitals in Panama City are shutting down. Look, what's being said about, I mean, people are just picking themselves up at this point, but the strength of this storm and how quickly it went from a Category 2 to a 4, we've been told in part it's the warming waters. But, you know, what are people there saying? There's no time in history where we can more accurately predict, and yet this came up so fast.
It came up really fast, but what's interesting about this storm is actually the predictions and the forecast for where it was going to hit held relatively true. This was about 2 miles per hour short of making landfall as a Category 5 storm. Its winds were extremely heavy. We were anticipating a Category 3. I woke up Wednesday morning, and they said it was a Cat 4, and I felt my stomach just kind of churn. The most this area has ever sustained is a Category 3. So seeing that storm become a Category 4, an incredibly powerful Category 4, I think there was a National Weather Service called it unprecedented, and we had local emergency management officials telling us that it was the most powerful storm this region has ever seen since 1851, which is before they even gave storms names. So, you know, this was not a regular weather event for the Panhandle.
Look, we were actually coming to visit you in a couple of weeks ahead of the midterms, and we're still going to do that. Looking forward to it. Slightly different reporting, but this comes in this political time. Republican Governor Rick Scott running for a Senate seat against the incumbent Bill Nelson. Tallahassee's Democratic Mayor Andrew Gillum is in a tight race for governor with the Republican Congressman Ron DeSantis. Today, a federal judge rejected a Democratic Party push to extend Florida's voter registration deadline because of Hurricane Michael. But just in the few seconds we have, this hurricane can shape politics depending on how it's handled by the lawmakers.
storms are political. Gillum came in under heavy criticism for the slow power restoration 2 years ago after Hurricane Hermine. And you actually saw a lot of that sniping going on back and forth, even with this storm. DeSantis was up with ads in several of our panhandle markets, and he's been heavily criticized for not pulling those ads, even as the storm made landfall. And obviously, Bill Nelson is in the area right now, trying to get a spotlight on himself for response. So storms are incredibly political, and this was definitely no exception.
Yeah. Well, we'll come to see you in a little bit, and hopefully the region is picking itself back up. Lynn Hatter, news director at WFSU in Tallahassee, Florida, thank you.
Thanks for having me.